And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
On today's Fantasy Baseball in 15, we'll discuss a couple of hitters busting out of long slumps.
Like death and taxes, Dodger's been a Dodger.
I have not had three cold brews yet.
It works great in a fantasy league.
I'm just glad I am not at the dentist.
Fantasy Baseball in 15 on The Athletic.
Welcome to Fantasy Baseball in 15 for Wednesday, May 26th, presented by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. I'm Al Melchior. I am here with Michael Beller. We have a lot to get to on an action-packed show, so here we go. Bryce Harper placed on the injured list with a left forearm contusion. Corey Kluber leaving his start for the Yankees against the Blue Jays after just three innings, diagnosed with tightness in his right shoulder. He is scheduled to get an MRI on Wednesday. So, Michael, a couple of possible replacements for Kluber should he need them. And just to give credit where credit is due, these are a couple pitchers that Lindsey Adler of The Athletic mentioned in a tweet after Kluber left the start. Davey Garcia, who's been walking a lot of batters in AAA, but obviously the upside's always there. And Michael King, who pitched in long relief after Kluber's exit. Those two options to start at Detroit on Sunday, again, if needed. Interested in either one, should they get the nod?
I would be interested in Garcia because of that upside you referenced. I think Michael King is just more of a, you know, organizational guy. Good guy for the Yankees to have. Good guy for the Yankees to be able to lean on for situations like when, you know, say Corey Kluber has to leave after three innings because of tightness in his right shoulder. But I don't think he really factors into the fantasy game for us. But Garcia, that upside, that strikeout ability, even with the walks, I would be interested in him should he get that nod.
All right. A situation, obviously, to watch throughout the week. Several other injury and health notes here. Marcelo Zuna leaving his game early against the Red Sox with two dislocated fingers that he sustained sliding into third base. Jazz Chisholm Jr., not back so long for his own IL stint. He sustained a mild right ankle sprain, so he is day-to-day. A few IL moves here. Rangers putting Kyle Gibson on the IL with a groin strain. Cleveland putting Zach Plesac on the IL with a fractured right thumb. Add this one to your list of bizarre injuries. His shirt got caught on a chair while he was aggressively taking said shirt off. So, Michael, this is the first shirt-related injury I can remember since Jeff Bloom, way back when, hurt himself taking off his shirt.
Isn't there like a Lou Ford ironing his shirt while he was wearing it story?
That's right. Actually, yeah, I did remember that being Lou Ford, but yes. Or for some reason, I'm thinking maybe Tom Glavine did that. I don't know.
I could have sworn Lou Ford was involved in some iron incident. Either way, this is the most bizarre breaking of an injury thing. The first thing that comes to mind for me is always Jeff Kent falling off his truck while washing it. This is this feels like it's got the same sort of idea behind it.
I played the word Kent in Words with Friends recently, and that made me instantly think of that truck incident. So we could do a whole show on that. Unfortunately, we got a lot of news here, so we'll keep going with that. Harrison Bader on the IL with a fractured rib. Dylan Carlson got the start in center field on Tuesday. Lane Thomas moving in left field. Actually, Thomas has gotten a few starts lately in left field, so it looks like he stands to gain some playing time. Finally, we get to see Adalberto Mondesi this season. And a good return for him. Couple of doubles against the Rays in his first game of the year on Tuesday. So good to see that. Noah Syndergaard, he left his rehab start with St. Lucie with a sore right elbow. He'll be getting an MRI, so we'll watch that situation closely. Good news for Taijuan Walker. Just recently went on the IL. He could come right back off of it on Friday. So it looks like that side injury for him was not too serious. So cue up your, you know, Simpsons walking in the door, walking out the door gif for Walker on the IL. Another debut, another prospect debut, Vladimir Gutierrez scheduled to start for the Reds against Cubs this Friday. Level of interest, Mr. Beller?
Not super high. The Cubs have actually been swinging the bats pretty well. They're 14-7 in the month of May. So this is an offense that, seems to be getting right. So I want to see a little bit about Gutierrez before I am trotting him out there. Daily leagues, if I need the innings, sure, why not? But in 9 out of 10 instances or 99 out of 100 instances, I'm not going to be going after him in this spot.
Yeah, I've suddenly noticed that, the Cubs are not a team to pick on anymore with your streaming pitchers. DJ LeMahieu placed on paternity leave, and now we've got some closer notes here. Rafael Montero and James Karinchak both got saves, obviously for the Mariners and for Cleveland, respectively. So those situations still very much in flux. And the Royals, too. That situation looked like maybe with Josh Stamont that got resolved, but Kyle Zimmer with a two-out save against the Rays on Tuesday night. So that situation is now apparently wide open again. And that Red situation, that's very much in flux. We saw Amir Garrett with a potential save situation against the Nationals. We had a couple lefties and a switch hitter coming up. Juan Soto, Josh Bell, Kyle Schwarber. But Bell homered against Garrett. Garrett did not get the three outs. So we saw Lucas Sims come in for that third out against Starlin Castro. So, Michael, you could say that Sims got a save with the bell.
You could. You just did. You definitely could, and you did. I don't know if you would necessarily want to really trot that line around too much.
It looks like I did want to do that. maybe ill-advised to do that. But moving on, Zach Britton to begin a rehab assignment with AA Somerset this Saturday. Andrew Pomeranz to be shut down for at least a week with some tightness in his left lat as he tries to come back. So a lot of closer news there.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, well, let's look back at Tuesday's games, Michael. Couple of hitters who have really, really struggled this year. And, of course, you talked about the Cubs waking up offensively. Jack Peterson, a part of that, and a big three-hit night for him, including a couple of home runs at Pittsburgh on Tuesday. And so now for his last 60 at-bats, he has 23 hits for a .383 average over that stretch. Three homers, but, yes, two of those just came in the Cubs' most recent game. But is it time to start looking at where Jock Peterson might be available?
Yeah, I think so. This was a guy who was super hot in the spring, if you'll remember, Al. Had probably some of the best stats in spring training and, spring training stats, caveat, whatever. But just a slow start to the season. Then he got injured. I think there's probably something to be said for the fact that, this guy played his entire career with the Dodgers. Like, how many cold weather April games did he have to play in his career before this season? Obviously some, but not to the extent. I bet he played more cold weather April games this year than he had in his entire career combined. So I think we could buy into that having some effect on the way he started the season. But he plays every day when he's healthy. He leads off a lot for this Cubs team. I think you want to buy in right now if you can.
All right. And what about Josh Bell, the aforementioned Josh Bell? Of course, that homer off of Amir Garrett got a couple of hits in that game plus a walk. And so now he's definitely on a bona fide hot streak, 16 for his last 52 with three homers, including the one from Tuesday. So time to pick him back up where he may have been dropped.
Yeah, I'm back in on Bell, too. Again, a guy who hits cleanup for that team every day or hits third for that team every day. He's sandwiched in between Juan Soto and Kyle Schwarber. And we were just talking about last week. You and I talked about how hot Kyle Schwarber has been. So that's a nice lineup spot. It's not the deepest lineup, but their 1-5 is pretty darn good. So the RBI and run scoring opportunity should be there, created by that lineup context. I think you go after Josh Bell. And as we've talked about before, first base, not as deep as it used to be. I think when you've got a guy like this with enough of a track record swinging the bat as well as Josh Bell is, you want to go out and get him if you've got the need for him.
Yeah. And just, you know, looking more broadly too, seeing how Peterson and Bell have really heated up when it seemed like they were never going to heat up, you know, just be patient with your hitters, and especially somebody like Bell, who, you know, didn't go super early, but, you know, wasn't a last rounder either. So a little lesson there for all of us, I think, at this time of season. And some notable pitching performances as well. Rich Hill, he just keeps rolling. Big, big start for him against the Royals. Even though he didn't get the win in this one, went 8 innings deep, 2 runs on 6 hits, no walks, and 13 strikeouts. Brad Keller, on the other hand, actually bested him, at least in terms of one loss. Just 1 run over 7 innings, 7 strikeouts for Keller. Did walk 4 batters, but he's been trending upward lately. So nice start for him against the Rays. Steven Matz, he's been inconsistent, but the big games have been big. A 10-strikeout game at the Yankees on Tuesday, over 6 2/3. Just 1 run allowed for Matz. Tarek Skubal, he has also been trending upwards. Nice start against Cleveland. 9 strikeouts in just 5 innings. 2 runs allowed. And Vince Velasquez, we talked about him on the Tuesday show, Michael. So he did come through for those who chose to stream him. 6 scoreless innings against the Marlins in Miami. 5 strikeouts, 3 walks, 3 hits. Pretty nice line overall for Velasquez. So Hill, Keller, Matz, Skubal, Velasquez. I mean, I realize some of these pitchers, Hill especially, are not really going to be available, but, you know, who's legit here?
Skubal still strikes me as the most interesting just because of where he is in his career arc and the ceiling that he could present for the remainder of the season. At the very least, all these guys are going to be guys we talk about quite a bit as potential streaming options. And I think Skubal, Matz, maybe Keller, maybe not, but Skubal and Matz are guys who I think could stick on teams for, you know, longer than just a start here, a start there, 2-start week, whatever it might be. But still, it's just showing us and displaying to us, as though we even needed it, just how good a pitching environment we are living in Major League Baseball in 2021. So maybe we can get more aggressive on our pitcher streaming. Maybe that's the lesson we take from everything we've seen over these first couple of months.
Yeah, it certainly seems like in a lot of our episodes when we talk about streamers, there's a number of really interesting options almost every day. So, you know, I think there's some truth in what you're saying there about changing our approach. All right, well, let's look ahead to Wednesday. And I would think that this is another slate with some really good options, including a game that features two potential streaming options, Johnny Cueto and Merrill Kelly. Kelly has been much, much better of late. And Cueto, he's throwing harder than he has in 5 years, at least on his four-seamer, a little bit over 92 miles an hour on average. And the results have been there for Cueto. So we got Cueto, we got Kelly, we got John Gant at the White Sox, who are going with Carlos Rodon. Gant's just having a weird season, walking everybody, but giving up no hard contact whatsoever. So the overall results in terms of ERA have been great for him. Luis Garcia gets the Dodgers, so, you know, streamable pitcher, but tough matchup.
At your own risk.
Yeah, Trevor Bauer in that one. James Kaprielian versus Seattle, brought that one up, I think, late last week, thinking ahead to weekly streamers, so that starts coming up. Dane Dunning at the Angels, with Griffin Cannon getting that start for them. Jose Urania, he's been a streamer consideration on and off. He gets Cleveland, who's going with the bullpen game in this one. And Mike Minor at the Rays. They're going with Tyler Glasnow. So some good streaming opportunities, but a lot of these, it's going to be tough to get the win. So looking at the overall picture, who interests you for a Wednesday streamer?
I think Kaprielian is far and away the number one guy you're going after here. Then I look at Dunning and Cueto as my next two guys. Cueto's probably got the next best win upside behind Kaprielian. Dunning's is fine. I like the matchup for Dunning against a Mike Troutless Angels team. Certainly don't mind the matchup for Johnny Cueto either. That would be 2 and 3 for me. I am staying very far away from John Gant and Luis Garcia. Love Luis Garcia, hate the matchup. Don't love John Gant and hate the matchup. So those guys are not on my radar at all as streamers.
Yeah, I almost didn't include Gant in this group, but it's just such an intriguing profile this year that I thought was worth a little discussion. But yeah, that's a no in the final analysis for John Gant, especially with that matchup. Yeah. So, well, let's wind up here with looking at a couple of prospects who, you know, I wouldn't say are completely under the radar, but really, I would say so far, exceeding expectations. Oswald Peraza, shortstop prospect for the Yankees, who's now in high A. The steals are incredible. He's already got 10 of them in 82 plate appearances, but the power, he's already equaled his total home run tally from all of his previous seasons and stops in the minors. Already 5 homers this year in those 82 plate appearances, batting .282. And Angel Zirpa with the Royals, high A Quad Cities affiliate, a 21-year-old lefty who's just been lights out so far, 19 and two-thirds innings, 30 strikeouts, just 3 walks, only a couple of homers allowed. So just a couple of prospects who really are raising their profile early on. I don't know that Peraza's going to be available in a whole lot of dynasty leagues, but I mean, is there any reason not to at least check and see if either of these prospects are available?
Yeah, there's definitely not a reason for that. I think the way that we might really hear about them, or especially Peraza in this 2021 season, is, you know, maybe Peraza ends up being some sort of trade candidate for the Yankees in real life, right? I mean, we're talking about a guy who's having a very good season. He's 21 years old at high A, so maybe a little old for the level. So maybe the Yankees wouldn't be so protective of him if a team comes knocking on their door and asks for him in something that upgrades the Yankees' major league roster. Wouldn't be surprised to see his name get thrown around as a piece in trade talks in these next couple of months. So I could see him being on the move in that way.
Yeah, and just a little context for Zirpa. He's actually a little bit younger than Asa Lacy, who certainly has a higher profile. Mm-hmm. So, you know, somebody who actually might be out there in some leagues, dynasty leagues, to be sure. Right. Don't expect to see him in 2021, maybe 2022. So on that note, that's going to be it for this episode of Fantasy Baseball in 15. If you do have an opportunity to rate and review this podcast, we greatly appreciate that when you do that. So for Michael Beller, I'm Al Melchior, and we'll be right back here on Thursday.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.